Welcome to Dynamo Lunch Radio. I'm so excited to do the show today. I have a terrific guest with me in the studio. We are here in the studio with Janice and Sam, and my special guest is Miss Del Williams. Now, I met Del at a conference in New York City a couple of weeks ago through a mutual connection, and I was so inspired by Miss Del Williams that I thought, I need to have Miss Del Williams on the radio show. And then I started to read her book. She has a terrific book. And I went to her store and I did more research. And we had a face-to-face meeting a couple of weeks back. And it was just simply wonderful. Del, I want to welcome you to the studio. And I'm so pleased that you have taken the time to join us. And I really look forward to sharing all your information with our audience. So, welcome. Now,
thank you.
Listeners, you might think, who is Del Williams? When Del and I tried to figure out who is Del Williams, that was quite tricky because, there are so many different colors in the rainbow that describe Del Williams. And let me give you an introduction. Mm-hmm. So, Del Williams is a performer. I see her as a pioneer. She is courageous, fearless. She joined the army. Then she also was an actress, and she studied at the Paul Mann School of Acting. She was a ski instructor. She was an advertising account executive on Fifth Avenue, and she loved wearing hats. She was on a radio show with Norman Corwin. Mm. And then also while she was in California, she was an artist's model. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, she is an interfaith minister. She has a great love for books and classical music. Del Williams is an American success story, and she is an educator and an author. So, Del, wow, you have all these different nouns and adjectives describing what you have done. And I know that you have big dreams, and you are always have also been a rebel, and you wanted to change the world, right? So, first of all, Del, give us an introduction. Where were you born? And tell us about your upbringing, please.
Well, I was born in the Bronx, and our apartment faced the park, Crotona Park, and there was a tennis court there. And my mother was played tennis practically every day, I guess, and became a tennis champ. And for 7 years, she held the title for a woman's singles. Mm-hmm. And and she also challenged a man who, because they were discriminating, men could not play with women in those days. And she challenged him just the way Billie Jean King did, mm-hmm, in challenging a man, and if she won, they would play doubles together, men and women. Mm-hmm. And she did win.
Well,
and so I grew up a little bit inspired by my mother, who was the champion. Mm-hmm. And of course, after the Depression started, life became a little difficult after that. Couldn't really play tennis, and she had to give up her tennis racket and go back to the factory where she sewed hems on dresses for 2 cents an hour, just to feed us. It was a rough time for everybody.
Now, when you say feed us, who else was there?
Pardon me?
When you say feed us, who else was there? Because I do know you have a brother at that time.
Oh, I have a brother, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. One thing you left out of the introduction, and that was that I was a contender for being in a movie, mm-hmm, that would have almost made the Oscar. This was back in 1962. I took a part in a film, a short film called The Cliff Dweller, that was actually nominated for the Academy Award.
Well, I'm sorry that I left it out.
And it was the only film I ever did in my life, but it was awarded an Academy Award. We didn't win, but just being nominated was a hoot.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were so many things that you have done, and that's why when I went through the introduction, I did leave out a few things because the introduction could just be the whole segment.
Right, so, right. And my army life.
Well, we will get to that because when you did grow up, what did your father do?
Pardon me?
When you were growing up, what did your father do?
Oh, my father was a dress designer. Would you believe that? He was a designer. I saw some of his sketches because he was designing the dresses that women were wearing in the 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, he designed for Bergdorf Goodman and Bendel and all the big designers. And he was also very sports-minded. And I think that's where I probably get my athletic energy. I don't know. But he ice skated and he bicycle rode, what do you call that, and won medals for winning, you know. So it was a very active family.
And also, when you were growing up, there was always music in your house. And I know
music,
there was art.
Music,
as well.
Oh yes. We had a grand piano. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that grand piano, even though we were, during the Depression, we were so poor and we were dispossessed even from apartments because we couldn't pay the rent. The grand piano came with us.
Right.
And because my father loved, and mother loved opera. Mm-hmm. And my father's sang in a chorus. He really had a terrible voice, I must confess, but his love for opera, you know, I kind of inherited that.
Well, I know that you and your brother then also were doing singing performances.
Oh, yes. This is during, we're jumping now to World War II, okay? And my brother and I performed in a canteen. We, a friend of ours, she was a high school buddy of mine, actually, rented a store, and we opened up a little theater that entertained the troops every weekend.
Wow. So,
and I was the singer, and my brother was the comedian. And we did these little variety shows for the troops, because at that time in the Bronx, up in the Bronx, there was an army station, so the soldiers were up at NYU and would come down there. As a matter of fact, that's where I met my boyfriend, whom I later thought would be my husband, but that didn't work out. But anyway, that was my first entertainment days.
Well, you had sports, you had entertainment, you had music, you had the arts. I know you like to go to the museums. So,
oh, yes.
You know, and you had your friends.
Jerome Avenue had a theater. And my brother and I would go and see the two movies for a dime or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were pretty inspired by Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire.
Right.
And, you know, we both later went into the theater.
Mm-hmm. And I know that when you were growing up, too, you had a group of six friends, and you were the Star Stamp Society. It were six girls, and you looked at stamps, and you even sewed your little jackets, and you were like a little club.
Oh, yes, yes. Right? I was a member of the Star Stamp Society. Mm-hmm. And here we were, all girls in public school, what, 8, 9, 10, whatever, collecting stamps. And we'd wear our jackets and said SSS, you know. But that was the first time that I really got to know what it was to have friends, because most cases I didn't, because of the Depression and other things. A lot of my childhood was not terribly pleasant. Mm-hmm. But I always had friends that I could go to
and play. And I know your brother, he's your younger brother?
He's your younger brother,
right,
yes.
He's with you during that
time.
Oh,
I just have to tell you, my brother was the funniest man alive. He could have gone on to Hollywood later. He didn't do that, but he was so, so funny. Sort of like Robin Williams.
Yes.
You know, and, well, he went into the Army later himself, and after that took up a career as a artist and a decorator.
Right, because...
And left the theater. I was always pretty sorry about that.
Yes, now moving on. You also joined the Army.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, that was a wonderful experience, really. I loved the camaraderie. I loved the marching. I loved the fact that they put me on as first when I got to the... I was stationed in an Army hospital where troops came to the hospital to be... examined before they were released. Mm-hmm. And the major, there was a major who was head of the entertainment section. So my label was entertainment specialist. And what was my specialty? My specialty was to move a piano on a platform from each part of the hospital to the others, so that they had several women who were singers who would sing a song. And he said to me, the general said, he was the major, yeah, I have to look at you as, you know, being equal to a man. And I said, fine, I'll move the piano. Well, it was on a platform, but it wasn't too easy, but I did it. And then after I did that and heard the women sing, and they were terrible. They were just awful. So I went to the major and I said, Major, I don't think you should have these people as entertainers. Why don't you let me and some other people who have had some experience create a show for the Army? Mm-hmm. Okay. The next day, I was fired.
Well, may I just interject as we are winding up? Listeners, this is a quote from Dell's book, and we will get back to that after the commercial break. But here's the quote. Look, I don't mind about having to move the piano, but those two singers just aren't good enough to entertain our troops. These men have already been wounded enough. And that is a wonderful quote that just really gives us a good insight into Dell Williams. We will be back after the commercial break.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Dynamo Lunch Radio. It's Rika. If you'd like to contact me, I'm at rika@nyintegratedhealth.com. And in the studio, of course, is my special guest, Del Williams. We were chatting during the commercial break, having a nice laugh. And moving ahead, I had mentioned in the introduction that Del Williams also was an advertising account executive. And Del, would you like to pick it up from there?
Yes, here I was as an advertising account executive, and I happened to be standing in the agency next to the water fountain. Yeah, what do you call it?
The water cooler.
Yeah, and suddenly the copywriter of the agency was a man. And someone I really liked, I think I had a little crush on him. And we were looking out the window, and he said to me, "Oh, look at the women marching. Now, look at the women outside."
What year was this?
This was 1970. Mm-hmm. And by this time, I was in my 40s. Mm-hmm. And I looked out the window. And because our windows overlooked Central Park, and at 59th Street on the corner by the plaza, mm-hmm. that's where the women were standing. And and I saw some banners thing, and I thought, oh my God, you know, it looked like something like women's liberation, which I didn't take too seriously at the time. Because I always felt like a liberated woman myself, so I didn't think I needed women's liberation.
Yeah, you always did what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I said, oh my God, that's women's liberation. And the copywriter made some discriminating remark about women. And I thought to myself, oh, now I know I want to march, because suddenly his reaction to them was so negative, putting women down, that I immediately got it, so to speak. I sort of got the discrimination, and I said, I think I will join them. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started. I left the office, went downstairs, got in line, and marched all the way down Fifth Avenue. And as I was marching, I had this sense of being liberated. It just came over me, you know, in such a strong way. And I realized all the things that I had gone through that I didn't think was so terrible, because every job that I had on my way up the ladder, there was always men who were pinching your ass. And I didn't like it, but it didn't seem so horrible, you know.
You just dealt with it.
Yeah. But now I realized the importance of feeling free. So that's the beginning of my inspiration. After that, I joined the organization, the National Organization for Women. And my life absolutely changed so drastically. I had always been, even before I joined, became active in now, somewhat of a red. I was always interested in some kind of change in the world. I wasn't an active communist, but they might have called me one, you know, mm-hmm. because I was for better conditions for people, especially what my mother had gone through. I wanted things to be better.
Yes, and you are very clear about that in your book. And listeners,
yes,
I want to point out to you that Del Williams, and who is the other author? Who is?
Oh, Lynn Vannucci.
Lynn Vannucci,
yeah.
Right. Oh, I see it right here. Together, they have written a book, and the book's title is Revolution in the Garden. And then there's a beautiful symbol, and below it, it's Memoirs of a Garden Keeper.
Yes.
And that is just a wonderful book, listeners. I have read it. It is humorous, and it is very insightful, and it's not disparaging or patronizing, and it's just really telling it the way it is from Del's perspective. And it is really a wonderful read. And I really think for our listeners out there, for myself being a woman, it really is very educational as well. But Del, back to you. You became very involved in the women's organization.
Very involved. Right. I was on every committee. I was participating in all the what we call ZAP actions, where we demonstrated certain things, like we were fighting for legal abortion. We were we were so active.
Right, because you were also trying to help children.
Well,
regarding
yes.
abuse, yes.
Well, let's see, was I married then? No. Yes, mm-hmm. but I couldn't conceive. So the movement became my passion. And all the women involved, too, were passionate because it was such, it hit our hearts and our minds, and we realized the discrimination we went through, you know. And we're all inspired by Betty Friedan, and the book that she had written. So it was a very, very exciting time. One of the things that I learned about, I had a talent for producing events.
Yes, because I know you produced a very large conference.
Yes. Oh, that was the first time that women got together to talk about sex. It was the idea of the then president of NOW, whose name escapes me at the moment because of memory, senior moments, but she was wonderful. Sorry, Jean, I think your name, first name was. Anyway, this conference was the first time people, women, got together to talk about sex. We had a few men there, too, but they were separate. They weren't intermingling with the women.
Were you the producer of the conference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I had met, excuse me, before that, I had met a woman by the name of Betty Dodson. And Betty Dodson, excuse me, was an artist and a sex educator and was giving workshops for women on how to masturbate, how to love yourself, how to be self-pleasuring. And I thought this would be a good idea for her to be as part of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And of course she was. Of course she was. We had a speak out at the conference where women of all different persuasions spoke. If you were straight, if you were gay, if you were bisexual, if you were celibate, if you were married, you know, like that. And I decided to put her on first. I was taking the most forbidden act you could think of, in my estimation, was to masturbate. And everybody thought of it as evil, bad, no good, don't do that. Don't
it's do sinful.
That.
Yes, it's shameful. Yes.
Yeah.
You're misbehaving.
That didn't stop me or other women from masturbating if they, you know, got the knack. But still, you wouldn't be caught doing that.
And
it was a shameful thing to do.
And here you had this topic.
And here I had Betty Dodson being the first person to talk about it, because that's what she dedicated her life to. I mean, to freeing women of the shame and the guilt and the fear. So that I decided to do her workshop.
Right, and I know you describe it very clearly in your book.
Yes.
And you say that Betty Dodson is really one of the key inspiring figures in your life.
Oh, yes. Right? Yes. I'll just tell you briefly. When I went up to her apartment where she was giving the workshop, I think my knees were shaking because I knew I had to be in a room full of women nude. I mean, they were women, but just the fact that there was a group of nude was not very risk, a little bit apprehensive to do that. And I rang the bell, and Betty Dodson opened the door wide. This was in an apartment building, okay? And she was totally naked. And she stood there, just tall and proud in all her beauty of nudeness, and said, "Welcome, come in." And I seemed to have changed in that moment. It was such a change because there was a woman who was not ashamed.
She was embracing her femininity, and
also
there's an empowerment or strength that you felt emanating from her.
Right.
You know, and also perhaps a feeling of safety of knowing that this is, yes, this is okay. This is right.
Yes, right, you know? Right.
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
And so I took the workshop. It was 2 days. The first day was devoted to, you know, why you were there and all the other things where women shared. And the interesting part was that women who had beautiful bodies always found something wrong with it. There was always something wrong. No one said she had a beautiful body. No one was conditioned to feel proud.
Yes. So I'm sorry to interrupt you on that note, Del, but we are going to go into our commercial break.
Okay.
And listeners, Del will be back after the commercial.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome to Dynamo Lunch Radio in the studio with Del Williams. And Del was sharing her experiences with us and again talking about women's empowerment and an open-mindedness, sexuality, and just an embracing of...
And vibrated.
Well, all right. There you're jumping right into us. But Del, why don't you just continue where you wanted to, the information you wanted to share with us?
Well, it's at Betty Dotson's workshop, there was one point where she gave out vibrators. Now, this was not the usual kind of vibrator that was penile-shaped. Mm-hmm. It was actually something you could buy in the department store, because what it was a body massager, and it was called the Magic Wand.
Right.
And I later called it the Cadillac of vibrators, because it was made to massage your whole body, the feet, your head. It was only meant for clitoral stimulation, certainly not you insert it into your vagina. Mm-hmm. She demonstrated by using it and showing us, and the very act of being open and showing us how to use the magic wand was so
like an awakening,
yes. A really awakening. And I thought, oh my goodness. Later on, I thought, this is a tool that empowers you, because you feel all this wonderful, what we later call kundalini, that power that comes up when you're excited and feel desire. So I thought to myself, well, I'll have to go out and get myself one of those.
So what did you do?
So I did. I went to a department store. Actually, I went to Macy's. For those of you who know New York City, it was a big department store.
Oh, it still is.
And I said, where do you sell the body massages? I didn't call it a vibrator, of course. And he said, the salesman, what do you want it for? Well, I was so embarrassed. I kind of mumbled something like, oh, I want to massage my back, of course, you know. So I went up to whatever floor they had. And there they were. They had different types of body massages laying on the counter. And there was the magic wand. Mm-hmm. And I picked it up. And I put it on. It had an on and off button. And it made a little noise. Not a big noise, but a little noise. And at that moment, I thought that everybody in this store knew what I was going to use it for.
Were many people around you?
Yeah. Well, they weren't around. They were there in the store. And I was so embarrassed. But then I went home. I took it. And as I say, I thought, this is a real liberating tool. You know, you don't have to be dependent upon another person to give you an orgasm or to feel joy and pleasure in your body. You can do it yourself. You can do it certainly with your own hands, as most children did it when they knew what it was. Mm-hmm. And I urged women who were then selling things to other women, like buttons and things and stuff relating to women's liberation, to sell vibrators, and nobody wanted to do it. And then Betty Dotson urged me, why don't you do it yourself?
Right, and that was a real turning point for you.
Yes, right. Do it myself. Well, I'll tell you, at that point, I was doing something called the S Training, which was this wonderful life learning kind of workshop on getting your own thing done and releasing you from bondage of a lot of things that were keeping you back. Mm-hmm. And they both happened at the same time somehow. around that time. And I said, yes, I am going to start my own business.
And that business is called Eve's Garden.
That right? business is called Eve's Garden, right. right.
And how did you first start your store? Because wasn't it a storefront at first?
No, it wasn't a storefront. Okay. It was actually in my apartment that I started.
Yes, on your kitchen
table. Because I started with a mail order catalog, which mm-hmm. I had for many years. So I started with that. And I took the name Eve's Garden from mythology, Adam and Eve's story. You know, here was Eve representing all women. Mm-hmm. And she was coming back. She was asserting herself. She was claiming half the garden. The garden was the world, of course. So it tied in. It was my way of expressing my feminism, you know, to free the world for women. And that's how it happened to be Eve's Garden.
Because you were, correct me if I'm wrong, the first mail order?
First mail order women's catalog. Yes.
Right. And also then, when you were still working from your apartment, I know your brother was helping you in the first stages.
Yes.
But then how did you branch out into the Eve's Garden store from the mail order company?
Well, I just, after a year, I think of almost a year of doing mail order, I could see that there could be a market of opening something. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think of opening on the street level because I didn't think anybody would rent space on sex and women. Anyway, just next door to where I lived on 57th Street was a building, an office building, 119 West 57th Street is the name, and I took office space there. And actually, the retail store is still there.
Yes,
after
I went to visit
35 years, it's still there.
It's amazing, listeners, because
it really is amazing.
You walk into the building.
Yeah, and what I'd like mm-hmm. to do, if I could read it.
Please
but
do.
I don't think I can, but I'm going to try. This was the first paragraph. Oh, I didn't bring my light.
Yeah. Okay, Dale, just make sure the microphone is by you.
Okay.
So the listeners can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry, there isn't. Many years ago, I read The Function of the Orgasm by Wilhelm Reich. It startled me to discover that the orgasm had a function. Was it not only the quintessence of loving and love? It had a function. Mm-hmm. And then I go on to say, yes, it was this electricity that went through your body that felt so good. And it was an expression of my feminist philosophy of being free. And actually, I have to tell you that after I had done the workshop before, mm-hmm. when I was still at the advertising agency before I started Eve's Garden. But I had done the workshop, and I heard one of the men in the agency saying something deprecating about a woman. And I just went into his office and told him off. And I wouldn't have done that had I not had Betty Dodson's workshop,
right.
which made me feel good all over. Like self-respect, self-esteem. That's the thing that women, they rob women of, you know, when they put them down. They rob them of their self-respect, self-esteem. And I felt all those things. And I was able to talk them down. And he went into the boss's office and wanted to have me fired for talking to him this way. But my boss, who was great, Bernard Hodes, where are you? If you hear this, I love you. And it was just an example of the strength I had. So I opened a store on the 14th floor. That's where we started. And I couldn't really place any ads anyplace because none of the media would pick me up.
They didn't want to touch you, yeah.
Yeah. Now it's all over, but then you couldn't do that. The only place that put my little ad was Ms. Magazine. And I even heard later that they had to have a conference meeting to decide whether I should be in the magazine. And I happened to know that it was Gloria Steinem who insisted that it be in the magazine. So that was my first ad, was in Ms. Magazine.
Well, and like you say, today it's all over. We have TV shows, movies. I mean, so much in
today,
that regard has changed.
Yes, yes, today it's all over. I mean, it took years, but it was amazing the letters that I got from women all over the country because Ms. was a national magazine. Mm-hmm. And I also advertised in small feminist newspapers. So it got around the country. It not only got around the country, it got around the world. Because I would be getting reporters from women's newspapers in Germany, in Ireland, in Sweden, in Japan. How they heard about it, I don't know. But the fact that I opened a store that celebrated women's sexuality, that encouraged women to feel free and independent and love themselves, was the idea was so incredible that it just got around the world.
And not only that, you have always, and this has been one of your things, is to be an educator.
Yes, yes. My prime, that's why I had so many books in the catalog. I started with only two books. Betty Dodson wrote a book called Liberating Masturbation, which she had to publish herself. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle was A Meditation on Self-Love.
Wow. And I'm sorry to, again, we're going to go to commercial break. What a lovely title for a book that is. Mm. And listeners, I hope you're enjoying our program. We will be back with Del Williams.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome to Dynamo Lunch Radio. And again, we are talking about wellness, woman's wellness, intimacy, mind-body wellness, spiritual wellness, all interconnected. That is what makes us beautiful human spiritual beings. Now, Eve, hello, Del, what would you like to share with us?
Yes, yes. I want to share, firstly, you said it beautifully, that my whole aim was to connect spirit with sexuality. It's spirit talking through us, through our energy, through our life force, through our body. And to be free and feel good and strong about yourself, I wrote this as something like your homework. So it says, Eve's Garden Pleasure Principle. I pledge allegiance to the Eve's Garden Pleasure Principle. I agree to nurture, trust, and pleasure my mind and body to the fullest. Secure in the knowledge that pleasure is my right and my responsibility to myself. Further, I assert my right to express my sexuality in whatever way, style, or situation that feels good and loving to me and to those whom I love. Furthermore, I grant myself total permission to be as bold or as gentle as I wish to be, both in reality and in fantasy, knowing my body belongs to me. And we had T-shirts that said, my body belongs to me at Eve's Garden. Anyway, to go on, in celebration of myself with a capital M and before the goddess of health and pleasure, I hereby sign my name this joyous day. And then I have a line for your signature and the date. Mm-hmm. And I used to get letters from women who said, you know, I signed the pleasure principle and put it up on my wall. And thank you, Del, you know, for reminding me that I have a right to express myself freely. So we called ourselves the Miracle on 57th Street because that's where we're located. And we have, we started only with two books. That was Betty Dodson's book, as I said, and another book called For Yourself by Lonnie Barback. And Liberating Masturbation was published by Betty for about 5 years or more until it was finally caught up by Random House. They finally picked it up and they renamed it. And it's now called Sex for One. Sex for One.
And I also know that you have papers at the library at Cornell, and articles, and also videos and recordings of your work.
Oh, yes, yes. I did a video called The Power and Pleasure that's out. And at that time, I also wrote a series of articles every week, a month, on sexuality. and the store was getting busy and busier. And I recall one day a woman came into the store and she pounded her hands on the counter and she said, "Enough, enough. I've been married 20 years. I have 4 children and I never had an orgasm. Please sell me whatever you can to get an orgasm."
Well, she came to the right place.
And she came to the right place. So that's why I had such a good following, because I was talking about sex as a normal, healthy function. It is normal and healthy. And as a matter of fact, there is a book called, it's about the clitoris only. And the author talks about Rebecca Chalker, that's her name. Rebecca Chalker wrote a book on the clitoris, very powerful book, understanding it. Mm-hmm. And actually related a little anecdote of how a woman and her doctor were watching her through the ultrasound, or not the ultrasound, or what you could see into the body. You could see into the body, whatever they call that. And they saw this little baby inside a woman's womb. And she was touching herself just where the clitoris is, in vitro, so to speak. It just shows you how basic an instinct that is, that it even started before you were born. And she seemed to be playing with herself, as we used to say, playing with yourself. Don't play with yourself. You know, all the kids throughout the countries, don't touch yourself down there. It's bad. It's wrong. You know, and here she was in vitro, diddling away on a little clitoris with what seemed to be a little smile on her face, mm-hmm. until she breathed fully, and you got the sense that she had some release, and there it was. So it was normal, it was natural, and this natural instinct had been cut out of our bodies as kids, mm-hmm. you know. And when you cut down part of your body, you're cutting down your initiative, your other things, you know, your creativity, etc. Don't get me wrong, I think being creative could also be a way of expressing yourself. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on orgasm, but I know an orgasm medically elevates the energy in all the hormones in your body. And Time magazine did have an article about that in the June, I think, issue of 2004, I'm not sure, showing how the orgasm is what we later call Kundalini, sweeps over your body and calms it. And we all know now that stress is the cause of all illness. And relieving stress through pleasuring yourself is one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself.
Yes, I'm looking here. Laura Berman, PhD, a sex therapist and director of Chicago's Berman Center, she wrote up a nice white paper saying, "Williams did a lot for women. Let's not go backward," you know. And today, when you look at what is going on today to during your time when you were growing up, what do you perceive, or how do you feel about that?
Well, there's such a difference now. Mm-hmm. I mean, women are coming into the store, whereas before they were too shy to do it. Mm-hmm. We haven't come all the way. It's going to take many more years, I think, mm-hmm. you know, because I still sometimes when I mention, whenever I mention Eve's Garden and that we so vibrate, is women break out into smiles and giggles and, you know, like it, you know, think it's a wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. And very few, maybe one out of ten maybe would say, oh, that's terrible. But most are just feeling wonderful about it.
Well, the thing is, here in New York, in a lovely city of New York, there is definitely an openness to it. There's definitely more open culture that we experience here, and a free spirit. And what also always struck me is that you don't like labels, and you never have, and you never will. And Del, I want to say that it has been absolutely delightful. I could talk to you for hours, but we are wrapping up our show.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for coming on the show. And listeners, I will be taking a hiatus with Dynamo Lunch Radio. And I hope you have enjoyed all the shows that will be on the archives at Dynamo Lunch Radio for the next couple of months. So if you have any questions, contact me at Rika@NY Integrated Health. And of course, Eve's Garden on 57th Street. If you Google it, it's there. And the book is on Amazon. Revolution in the Garden, Memoirs of the Garden Keeper. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators, and I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.